Life Christian Centre is a church located in the city of Adelaide. It is made up of people from different backgrounds and walks of life who have been transformed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. For more information, visit us online at www.life-church.com.au.
So good to be in church, so good to worship, amen. Well, it's an absolute pleasure today to have Pastor Benji from San Martin from the Spanish Church in Brisbane. Pastor Benji is married to Fleur and they have three children, a 15, a 16 and a 4. Yeah, that four-year-old, she must be amazing. She would love that. Pastor Benji's been involved with the CCA for many years, and as a church, their church has been involved with the CCA for many years. Pastor Benji became the pastor in 2021 when his father, Roberto, spoken at this church on a number of occasions, suddenly passed away. That was unexpected, went into surgery for some just routine stuff, into hospital, and something went wrong and he passed away that particular week. And Benji stepped up to the plate, kind of reluctantly, but took the church from there. And since then, he's doing an absolutely outstanding job in the church. The church has been flourishing. We're kind of watching from a distance, but just you kind of see the hand of God upon the church and also on their lives as a couple in leading the church forward. And they're seeing growth. They've just moved into another building, which is always a good sign. And he's passionate about the kingdom of God. He's a great preacher of the word. I've already heard him speak in Italian. It's going to be a great word. I know that God is going to speak to all of us today. So would you just give him a big, warm welcome as he comes to minister the word today.
I'm glad I didn't get any insults, brother. Thank you. I thought that was just the norm. Who's happy to be in church this morning? There's a couple of you. That's great. Now, who's happy to be in the house of God this morning? Who came to praise God? I don't know. I can declare God is good. Oh, man. They're not catching on, brother. Now, it's great to be here this morning with you. First time I actually get the opportunity to come and preach at this church, which is a blessing. If I didn't say I was nervous, I'd be lying. But I'm happy to be here. It's a great opportunity. I've been here a few times for conferences and always come to sort of receive. So when God gave me this opportunity to come and preach, I kind of reluctantly said yes. But you know what? It's been a blessing already being here. We had a great service this morning with the Italian church, and I believe God's got a word for us all this morning. Just a little bit about me. Yes, I'm from Brisbane, the home of the AFL champions. And if you follow the AFL, I don't know, but you know, Brisbane Lions. Yeah, that's where I'm from. So born and bred in Brisbane. My father was Roberto from Chile. My mum is from Spain. You would know also my brother, Stephen. Esteban, who has come here many times to preach. He's my older brother, as you could tell. And yes, I'm the third brother in the Lions. So I took over in 2021 in Spanish church, and we thank God he's doing some great things there. We sort of do Spanish and English at the same time. We translate things, and God is good. Amen. He's been good with us and faithful. And I'm here with my wife today. This week we celebrated 19 years of marriage. So God has been good with us and through the ups and downs. And one of us deserves a statue. I don't know who, but one of us does. You know, it's been great, and God's doing things through us, which we just thank God for. We do have three lovely children, Elias, Brianna, and Gabby. Little Gabby is the boss. So we're glad to be away for a couple of days. So look, we're going to get straight into it this morning. I've got a word that I know is going to be a blessing for you. When Pastor Joe reached out and said, you know, can you come and preach? God gave me a word for the church, for this church that week. And I had the privilege of actually then sharing it to my church at home. And I must say it was an absolute blessing for our church as well. And that gave me a bit of confirmation that, you know what, God's got a word in season for all of us. Amen. And who here loves to praise God? Now, come on, who loves to praise God? And we say amen, we get all quiet. Who likes to praise God? I've got a message, and I love to give a title because I think it needs to give you a bit of context of what I'm going to speak about. But the title God's given me, and I'm going to change my notes from my Spanish to my English, just give me one moment, is In the unexpected, praise God. Did you hear that? You would love me to have said, in the blessing, praise God. But in the unexpected, I want to encourage you this morning to praise God in all seasons. How many of you know that life isn't easy? How many live in this real world? I mean, who got told that when you became a believer, all your problems went away? Things were going to be good. It's like a bed of roses. You're like on this honeymoon period forever. If they told you that, they lied. Because when I came to Christ, when I came to Christ at a very young age, I started to understand and see that there's a true enemy out there that is not happy with a person that wants to live for Jesus. The enemy is going to try to throw everything at us. And I can guarantee you in this room, in this place, there's more than one of us that is going right now through a battle of our own. There's someone here, if not more than one of us, going through problems in our marriage, in our homes, with our children, in their education, in our businesses, in our work life. There are things in our lives that are coming against us, and all it's trying to do is trying to take our focus away from God and put it on the problem that is around us. I'm here today to declare that our God is the greatest. Someone got excited. Our God is the greatest. There is no one like my God. We're going to see a passage this morning that I want to sort of get into. If you open up your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Who loves the book of Acts? Amen. Chapter 16, we're going to read from verse 16 to 26. When you've got it, can you say amen? And we're going to get into this. Acts chapter 16, verse 16 to 26, it says this. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, these men are the servants of the Most High who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Who can say amen? And he came out that very hour. But when the masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Who can say this? But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosened. Who can say amen to the word of God this morning? Why don't we just quickly pray and we'll get into this message this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask right now that you would speak to us. You've got a word for us this morning. I pray that every heart, every ear would be open to receive, Father, your word. That we could capture what you have for us this morning. Put it into practice, Father, and continue to get to know you more. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you would anoint me to preach your word with power, with boldness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we all said, amen. We start to look at this story, Paul and Silas. What are they doing? They're walking to the temple. They're going to pray. They're living a life that is being directed by God. God is calling them to do different things. In this occasion, they're walking day after day to the temple to pray. This would seem like something just normal in the life. I would ask you this morning, who walked to church this morning? We've got one. We need to bless him with a car, amen? No, who walked to church? No one, right? We all came in our cars, in the train, in the bus, whatever it might be. But this here gives us a bit of an illustration of Paul and Silas. They're walking to the temple to pray when all of a sudden they get interrupted. And I want you to understand this because as Christians, we're living this life. We're walking this walk with Jesus. We're doing the things that we need to be doing. We're coming to church, amen. We're praying. We're going to prayer service, hopefully. We're attending the activities of the church. We're reading our Bible at home. We're praying. We're getting closer to God. But all of a sudden, our life that seems to be going so well, perfect, no problems, gets interrupted. Who's been there? Right now, I can guarantee you there's people here that their lives have been interrupted by something. There's a sickness. There's news. There's bad news. There's a problem that's arisen. When everything was going so well, all of a sudden you get hit on the side by something that's come against you. Paul, we see, as Paul was, as we know, when we read about this man, Paul, he turns around after being greatly annoyed and says to this demon spirit, in the name of Jesus, get out. And that's a perfect time to say amen, because there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. We need to believe that and know that in the good and in the bad. There is power in the name of Jesus. All of a sudden we can see the demon leaves that very hour, and what should have been celebrated as something great, what should have been seen as that's a good thing, this poor young person had been delivered, had been liberated. Instead of being celebrated for what they did, we see that there's a spiral of events that start to take place. Paul and Silas, I could imagine, walking to the temple, all of a sudden, what's going on here? Silas is probably going, Paul, did you have to do that? You should just let her keep screaming. She's proclaiming the name of God. No. She was interrupting what they were trying to do. There was a devil, there was a demon there trying to interrupt the work of God in that city. They're going about life, no problems. All is well. All is happy. We're singing happy songs. We're doing all these things. And all of a sudden, the spiral begins. And I've written it here. There's a spiral of events that happened to Paul and Silas. They're put on trial by the multitude. They're stripped of their clothes. They're beaten with rods. And I reiterate here that when they're beaten with rods, it says there that they were beaten greatly. What that means is that there was no number given to the beating they were given. You know that when the Jews would give you a sentence, they would give you a number. They would say it's 40 minus one, just to make sure the 40th could kill you, right? So we'd get you at 39. But then when the Romans got involved, they just kept hitting you until they felt that was enough. I want to paint this picture because we need to understand this situation that they're finding themselves in. Remember my title, In the Unexpected, Praise God. We're going to get to the good stuff soon, but I need to let you understand where we're at here. Paul and Silas, from all of a sudden walking, the next moment they're in chains, they're beaten, they're thrown into the prison, and when they're given to the jailer, they're like, make sure you look after these guys and put them in the worst part of the prison. Make sure you chain them up. Make sure that they can't leave, they can't escape. So if you meditate on this, they're battered and bruised. This is a picture of many of us in our life. Battered and bruised by life. God, why me and why now? Who can be honest and say, I've had that question before? I've been there. I've been there where I've gone, God, really now? When things are going so well? Well, I'm doing your will. Where you've called me to do this, why is it that this is happening to my life now, happening to my family, my marriage, my church? It's a natural reaction that people can have. But this is going to get better, let me tell you that. Paul and Silas are thrown into this prison. I could imagine that they're probably just looking at each other, going, what is happening? God, where are you? We were going to pray. Like, we're going to do something good. We're going to pray, spend time in your presence. But yet now we find ourselves in this prison. Yet we find ourselves beaten. We're bleeding. We're bruised. We're in pain. I don't read not one verse where I see that they start to complain. What does this tell you about this man? Or about both of these men? That they knew who God was. And it's one thing to know God when everything is going well. It's another to know him when you're going through that storm. There's one thing to proclaim, God, you are great. God is good all the time. when things are awesome in life, but what about when you've been smacked around by life? Is God still great? Do you believe that? In all times, God is good. Hallelujah. Speak to us, God, speak. Suddenly, things have changed. The unexpected has come to Paul and Silas. When I was studying about this and I was meditating on this, something came to me and I had to write it down, and I'll read it word for word. It says, in the unexpected place, although for us comes out of nowhere, catches us off guard, catches us by surprise. As children of God, we need to understand that God is in control of everything and that He knows everything that happens in our life beforehand. Nothing catches God off guard. Hang on a minute. This problem that I'm going through, God knew I was going to go through it. Yes, He does. You know why? Because God's got a purpose for everything in our life. Who can testify in this place? Who's been in that situation when you've gone through something and then you've looked back and God, you know what? If I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be in the place where I am today. Who can glorify God and say, thank you, God, for being with me and carrying me through the storms that I've been through in my life? Because you know what? Now I'm standing in a place that I would never have been if I didn't go through that. God's got a purpose for everything for the children of God. In Jeremiah 29, 11, what does that say? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of what? To prosper and to give us a hope and a future. He knows the plans. He knows our life has been mapped out. He's with us. Don't think that because you're going through a struggle or a problem, God has left you. No, it's probably when He's most closest to you. But that's when we tend to run away from God, because this isn't going as it should be. This isn't as the preacher painted it to me back in those days. All of a sudden, I'm going through a struggle and I'm trying to understand, why is it that this is happening? When we need to start putting our praise together and saying, you know what, God, you are with me. You're going to take me out of this as you have done in the past. Amen. There's another verse that I love in Romans 8, 28, which says, for we know all things work together for good to those that love God. And what I like to reiterate there, that it says all things. I would love it to say all the good things are going to work for good for you. But you know what? There's going to be things that come to us that we don't like, but God is a master in being able to transform that into a blessing in our life. And someone's got to say amen to that. Amen. As we start getting into this message, Paul and Silas have a response. They need to respond to the situation. They either go along with a pity party. They either go along with a why me, the questioning of God, and no one loves me and everyone hates me and everyone's against me and it's always me that goes through this. Or they can respond to the situation in a different way that's going to allow God to move in their life. And if we start to see there in verse 25, it says very clearly, but at midnight, Paul and Silas began to cry. Paul and Silas began to whinge. If it was talking about me, that's probably what it would say. Paul and Silas began to blame God. No, Paul knew who God was. Paul had seen how God had moved in his life in the past. And Paul had no doubt that God was going to do something in this moment. You need to have no doubt that God is with you. Who can say amen to that? When we realize the magnitude, the greatness of our God, and the fact that He is in control of my life, you know what? God, whatever I'm going through right now, I'm just going to trust in You. You know better than what I know. You see tomorrow, you see next week, you see next year. You know what I'm going through right now, why You need to mold me for something that's coming in the future. I'm just going to trust in You and believe that all is going to be well. Hallelujah. The enemy's going to think that when he's got you in that place, that all is lost for you. He's going to make you think that, you know what, this is over. I tried it and I didn't like it. I've been in church all my life, brought up in a Christian home. I've seen a lot of things in church. And you know what saddens me so much is that for many people, when things get tough, the tough get going, the tough stay and the weak get going. How many people should be in this place that are no longer congregating anywhere? How many people, the first time they encounter a problem, it's, you know what, God, I tried you and it didn't work. And they turn their back on God. That's what the enemy wants for our life. The enemy wants nothing more than to steal our faith. The enemy wants nothing more to fill us with fear, with thoughts of doubt. Because you know, when the doubt comes in, faith has gone. You can't have faith and doubt at the same time. You either have faith that God is going to see you through it, or you're going to doubt God and believe the lying enemy that it's over for you. Let me tell you, it's not over until God says it's over. God has the last word in my life. Someone's got to take that and say, you know what, God, you've got the last word in my life. Not the doctor, not the surgeon. That's a tough one. Because we sometimes can see that man and their experience, they study, they know what they're talking about. Yes, but God created me. Oh, come on, someone's got to shout. God created the universe. God created that surgeon. God gave him the intelligence. Why didn't he give it to me? That's another sermon. But why? We ask those questions. Paul knew the God that he served. We need to understand and know who is the God that I'm serving. The enemy thinks he's got us down. The enemy thinks he's got us in a corner. But let me tell you, in those moments when you start to praise and lift up a song, God is going to turn that situation from a time of mourning into a time of dancing, and glory to God for that. I've got a few points here I want you to see. Praise. What is this praise? I've got a few points I want you to see. If they've got them up there, they can put them up. Praise gets our focus off ourselves and puts it back on God. You know, when you're starting to think, oh man, why me? What did I do? It must be bad. It must be because I did this 5 years ago, 10 years ago. No, forget about yourself. And you know, I start believing the God that you're worshiping. It's about Him. God is in control. God is the one that works in our favor. God is the one that has our days sorted. He knows the plans that He has for us. It is God. When we start to realize that God is in control and who this God is, let me tell you, that situation is going to pale in insignificance before the magnitude of our God. Hallelujah. In Psalms 152, it says, we love that psalm, praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellence, greatness. Who can say, my God is great? Our God is greater. Praise Him for that. We seem to praise the problem. We seem to lift up the issue. We seem to go, Goliath is just too big. Instead of being a David and say, you know what, today I will cut your head off because God is with me. You have defied Jehovah. You're not up against me. You're up against the creator of this universe, the God Almighty. When we understand that, when we start to exalt His greatness, let me tell you, you're not going to have room in your mind to start thinking about that problem that you're going through, because our mind is going to be full of the presence of God. Hallelujah. It's all about Him, not about us. The second point, praise makes the enemy flee. If you read in 2 Chronicles, I don't know if you've read that story before about Jehoshaphat. And it's an amazing story, and it tells us about them in a position where they're being attacked. The armies are starting to gather around them, and they're huge. It's a mighty army coming against the people of Israel. Jehoshaphat and the people are in fear. They're scared. For a moment, they're forgetting the God that they serve. They're looking at the numbers and thinking that there is power in the number, when they should be saying there is power in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Many of us will look at the problem and go, that is too big. Mate, the bigger the problem, the bigger they fall, because God is with us. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21 and 22, it says this, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Look at this. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Who did it? Who did it? Come on, there's more of you here. Who did that? It was God. When did He do it? When the people started to praise and exalt His holy name. Who can praise the Lord in this place? Does someone want to give a shout of praise? Come on, praise the Lord for a moment. It's amazing what God does, how He moves when there is a people that will believe Him and that will praise Him in spirit and in truth. Number three, praise leaves no place for complaining and negativity. I ask you a question. When you're praising God, can you be thinking about a problem? This morning, we're in the presence of God. Who could feel the presence of God as we're worshiping, as we're praising Him in this place? If you're not feeling it, you're missing it, because the presence of God is in this place. An amazing time of praise and of worship. God begins to move in that time. How can we be in the presence of God, praising Him, lifting up a song, saying how great You are, hallelujah, but yet be going, you know what? I'm a nobody. No one likes me. Tomorrow I've got to go do that thing which I'm probably going to lose my job. My business is not going as it should. My family is in problems. My marriage is about to break. When we're glorifying the greatness of our God, let me tell you, His presence starts to fill our lives. And there's no doubt that, yes, we're going through problems, but if we believe in God, God can turn that problem into a great situation in our life. And you know what? It's easy to say it. It's easy to proclaim that. But how many of us can say, you know what? God has done marvelous things in my life. Who can testify and say, you know what? There was a moment in my life that God, I don't know how He did it, but He did it. If you're waiting on an answer, if you're going through that problem, I want to encourage you today, praise the Lord with all your strength. Praise Him even when you don't want to. Praise Him when you think it's too hard. Praise Him when you think, you know what, it's over. No, it's not over. To God says it is over. Number three, praise leaves no place for complaining and negativity. Sorry, number four, praise invites His presence. There's a verse that says He inhabits the praises of His people. Who could feel the presence of God in this place? Because there was a genuine praise and worship that was being lifted up. And you know what? God's presence in this place starts to move and move in our favor. And the last one, it paves the way for God's power to be displayed and for miracles to happen. Who wants to see miracles happen? Okay, who needs a miracle to happen? Who needs a miracle to happen? I'm saying I need a miracle to happen in my life. There are things in my life that, God, I need You to intervene. I don't know. I know some of you here. I don't know you all. I don't know how you've come to church. I don't know what your week's been like. I don't know the struggles you've gone through. But you know what? I don't need to know that. We just need to know that we're serving a living God, a God that is alive, a God that is real, a God that works in favor of His people. Someone's got to receive that and believe that by faith. And the beauty of what I love here, when it says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So could you imagine this picture? They're in like the bottom of this jail. This jail wasn't one of, like, we've got a jail in Brisbane called Waco that looks like a hotel, right? It's got TV, it's got cable TV. They got air conditioning. They get fed every day. Like, the jail that Paul and Silas were in was not that jail. Right, they're thrown into a dark place without knowing what's going to happen to them tomorrow, because more than likely they're probably going to be paraded in front of the people the next day, if not beaten again, maybe killed. They're in pain. Don't forget, they've been beaten many times. They're in pain. They're locked in chain. They can't move. I can guarantee you there's at least one rat in that place running around, and all the ladies go, amen. There's a rat going, like, I'm trying to paint this picture to understand this situation that they're finding themselves in. They're not lying on a nice bed going, you know what, this is pretty cool. This is a good feeling. They're in pain physically. They're in probably in a moment of doubt of what's going to happen to us. But yet they find the time to, instead of be whinging and complaining and questioning God or even doubting God, to say, you know what? We're going to pray and we're going to start to praise the Lord our God. Amen. They're going to start, instead of going, you know what? God, we don't know if this is actually something that you're going to take us out of. No, I don't care. We're just going to start praying and we're going to praise the Lord our God. Now, what were they singing? I couldn't tell you. Think about your favorite song. What's your go-to song? Do you have a go-to song? And please don't tell me it's a Taylor Swift song. Because you need to change your playlist. That's another preaching, brother, if you invite me back. What's your go-to song? I've got many go-to songs. They're all in Spanish, unfortunately. So I can't sing them to you here. And you probably don't want to hear that anyway. But they would have had a go-to song. You know what? We're going to start to praise the Lord. And you know what the beauty is? They're not like Paul and Silas sitting there going, all right, you start singing and I'll back you up. They just go quietly. They're singing with all their might. Do you think that God deserves the best? So in a moment of pain, of darkness, of uncertainty, of doubt, these guys are going, you know what? Let's just start to praise God. Let's just start to lift up His holy name. Let's just start to exalt Him. Because you know what? God is God. He knows what He's doing. And they're starting to praise God and all the prisoners are listening to Him. And they're probably going, who are these madmen that are in there? What are they doing? They're probably hearing, you know, how great is our God. God, you are holy. There is none like you. And they're going, what is this? Prisoners are normally probably, you know, yelling out cuss words and angry and whatever might be happening. But yet they're lifting up a song to our Lord, our God, because they know who they have believed in. Sometimes we forget how great our God is. We allow that circumstance, that problem to take control of my mindset, of my thoughts. And the last thing we do is praise God. God deserves the praise in season and out of season. To Him be the glory in the good times and in the bad times. Show me someone that in the bad times can lift up the name of God, lift up the name of Jesus in their circumstance and start to praise Him in spirit and in truth. And I'm going to show you someone that's understood who God is. Hallelujah. The beauty of this church, and I'm getting to the pointy end of this, is that when we have a response, then God responds. Did you hear that? We can respond with all the other things we've talked about and not see any change in our circumstance. But when Paul and Silas responded the way they did, there was nothing more for God to do than to move His mighty hand in favor of Paul and Silas. Meditate on this for a moment. The problem is still there, but it's just that now we've chosen to glorify God through that problem. And then God says, you know what? Now it's time for me to respond to your cries. Hallelujah. And how does God respond? Does God respond the way we want? What would be the response that we should have seen there from God? Probably send an angel down, get the key, open up the doors, let them go. Because that's what we think is normal. Or for the jailer to have a change of heart and to go, you know what? I'm going to let you guys out, open the door. Because that's a normal response, right? The doors have to be unlocked by someone. But who knows the God that we serve? Come on, who knows the God that we serve does not act according to our intellect? And who praises God for that? Who praises God for the fact that he can do whatever He wants, when He wants, and how He wants? That we think, this is how you need to answer me. This is how you're going to respond to my situation, my problem. We think, this is the way God's going to answer. And God says, no, I'm going to send an earthquake to that place. Who wants an earthquake in their life? Music team, start please, if they can start coming up. But who wants an earthquake in their life? What's the last thing you'd want to happen when you're surrounded by rocks? What's the last thing you want to go happen in your life when you're sitting in a place where there's all these big boulders around you? The last thing you're going to say, God, send an earthquake. Please shake the ground that we're on. But you know, sometimes that's what needs to happen in our life. There needs to be a mighty shake in our life so we can understand that God is God in all circumstance, that He deserves the praise when I'm happy. He deserves the praise when I'm angry. He deserves the praise when I'm sad. He deserves the praise all the time that I'm alive. Hallelujah. And this earthquake comes, it shakes the foundations. And what the earthquake doesn't do is doesn't squash them as it should. The only thing that happens is the doors open and the chains are broken. Someone's got to shout hallelujah, because you know what? God is a God that acts in the impossible. God is a God that doesn't work how we think He should work. He doesn't work in the possible of the human capacity. He works in the impossible areas that we can't do. God doesn't have to work in the possible. That's what we do. We work in the possible because He's given us intellect. He's given us hands. He's given us feet. He's given us the capacity to make decisions. But what happens when something is impossible for us? That's where God intervenes. And that's where God does what He wants to do in our life. He shakes that ground. The chains are broken. The doors are open. All the prisoners are set free. Because when God does something, He does it right. All the prisoners are set free from that prison. The jailer looks and goes, "What's happening?" The jailer in that time, if someone would escape from their care, you know what would happen? Is that whatever, what's the word in English? I've got it in Spanish. Whatever sentence was given to that prisoner would go on the life of the jailer that they escaped from. So if there are any prisoners there sentenced to death, what do you think was going to happen to the jailer? He gets a knife, about to take his life. And Paul says, "Hang on a minute, we're all here. God has done something mighty in this place. This jailer receives Jesus Christ as his Savior. The home, the family of this jailer receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior." Do you think God had a purpose for Paul and Silas going through this situation? God could see the life of this jailer, and the only way Paul was going to get to that jailer was being in jail with that jailer. God is perfect in all that He does. Someone's got to say amen. God works in His perfect way. The whole reason this happened was for this jailer to know Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What are you going through today? I don't know. No one's given me any news about you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what the problems have been. All I know is that I've preached Jesus Christ, and there is power in this place to change your circumstance from mourning into dancing. I've asked the team if they can, please praise the Lord. I know we normally like to finish with a worship song, but I want to praise God. Who wants to praise God with me? Who can stand in this place? And if the team can please take it away, as you always do, and praise God with all your strength. But don't praise Him like you've always done. Praise Him with all your might and with all your strength today, because He deserves the best. Amen.
So Father, I just pray, remember here today, Lord God, that's heard this powerful word, encouraging word to worship You, the power of praise, power of worship, Lord God. I just pray those that may feel like they're in a prison right now, I just pray that a song would begin to rise from deep within their spirit, Lord God, that by the grace of God, a song will begin to come from their lips, Lord God, I pray. I thank You for what You're going to do in their lives. I thank You that You're going to intervene in the name of Jesus. I thank You that Your name is going to be glorified in Jesus' name, that the devil's going to be put to shame. Your name lifted high. Be glorified today, I pray. And this is our prayer. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Have a blessed week in Jesus' name. We'll see you back next week. God bless you. Thank you.